Hello and welcome into another episode of Lockdown Wolves. Today on the show, the Timberwolves have signed Luka Garza, former Iowa Hawkeyes star. We'll talk about where he fits in on the training camp roster, what the training camp roster looks like now, some updates there. And then also ESPN's new power rankings post Kevin Durant staying in Brooklyn news. Why do the Wolves still only rank 12th in ESPN's power rankings? We're going to talk about all that here on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. And a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey and beyond. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, CK. Yeah, the Timberwolves have made another signing, albeit a training camp deal, an Exhibit 10 contract, and that's Luka Garza, former Big Ten star at the University of Iowa, will be in Minnesota for training camp, which kicks off here in a few weeks. So I want to talk about that, what the training camp roster looks like here up top. We'll get to some power rankings talk because the Wolves continue to be certainly underrated, underranked in some of these, honestly. Yes, end of the day, meaningless offseason power rankings, but it is a little bit crazy. And we talked a little bit about this last week in light of some other, you know, tiers rankings over at ESPN, et cetera. But now, straight power rankings that have been re-released by ESPN, and the Wolves continue to be undersold. So I want to get to that at the end of the show. I'll express my sour grapes at that point. But as of right now, the Timberwolves training camp roster, one would think, is about full. The Timberwolves have a full roster of guaranteed contracts. They have two two-way players. They have at least two official Exhibit 10 players, if not a third. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But this is a chock-full roster of, what is that, 17 guys plus the max 17 guys plus two two-way players and two Exhibit 10 players. This is a very full roster. First, let's talk about Luka Garza before we get to the roster itself. If you're not familiar with Luka Garza, then you're likely not a Golden Gophers, University of Minnesota Golden Gophers fan, or a Big Ten basketball fan, or even an NCAA basketball fan, because Luka Garza had a phenomenal career at Iowa and was, you know, a decorated player the last couple seasons there at Iowa. His junior year, he played 4 years. His junior year, he averaged 23.9 points per game, so 24 points per game, 9.8 rebounds, effectively a double-double, 24 and 10. His senior year, he averaged 24 and 9, 24.1 points, 8.7 rebounds. He improved his three-point shooting to 44% from three on 100 attempts. So that's a little more than three attempts per game. So not massive volume, but not insignificant volume either. He improved. He was basically a non-factor from three early in his career. He was about 36% as a junior when he averaged 24 and 10. Then as a senior, when he averaged 24 and 9, he shot 44% from three. He was always around 70% from the free throw line, so pretty good there. But he was so dominant in the post and dominant on the glass. He did so much of his damage as a post player in college at Iowa. And he's a legit 6'11", not ultra athletic, not ultra, well, I shouldn't say it. He's smooth on the block, certainly, but not super switchable defensively, or at least not in college. He wasn't asked to do a ton of that anyway at Iowa. Last year, he was a second round pick of the Detroit Pistons and played in 32 NBA games. In fact, started five with the Pistons last year. He averaged 12 minutes per game, scored 6 points, three rebounds per game, only shot 32.7% on NBA threes on 1.5 attempts per game. So low volume there. But the Pistons had a team option on him this year. They let him go. So spent last year with Detroit. He did play in only four games in the G League. So 32 NBA games, four G League games. In those four G League games, he averaged 35 minutes per game, 25 points, 8.3 rebounds per game, and shot 29% from three on 6 3-point attempts per game. So he was getting those shots up from outside the arc at the G League level last year in just four games with the Motor City. What are they called? The Motor City. It's going to bother me. I have to look it up. the Motor City Crews, the G League team for the Detroit Pistons, and limited NBA action. So he's already going to be 24 years old this year as a four-year college player. He has lost some weight. You can go find him what he did in Summer League. He played with the Pistons Summer League entry. He certainly is a little bit sleeker than he was, certainly at Iowa, and also that last year, his first year as a pro. Will that translate to him being more effective defensively and perhaps even on the glass? Probably. I think the three-point shot has to be better if he's going to stick at the NBA level, which, you know, isn't true of everybody, but since he's relatively, I mean, he's not going to put the ball on the floor a ton, he can. He's probably a bit more mobile than most people would assume based on what he showcased at Iowa, what he was asked to do at Iowa, and also just the bulk that he has to him. But he can put the ball on the floor a little bit. He can stretch the floor a little bit. Those are just things that need to improve. And can he still be effective on the glass despite losing weight to become a little bit more versatile on the perimeter? Now, he's an Exhibit 10 contract signee. If you're not familiar with what that means, basically there's a signing bonus, some guaranteed money to come to training camp with the Wolves, be a non-roster invitee essentially. And then there's also a bonus if he doesn't, assuming he doesn't make the Wolves, the Timberwolves roster, he can be assigned to the Iowa Wolves of the G League, and he gets a bonus if he stays, I think it's 60 days, so 2 months with the G League team. He gets an additional like $50K for staying with the team. So likely he's going to be on the Iowa Wolves at least until Christmas or so, very likely. And if he plays really well there, there's always the chance he gets an opportunity with an NBA club. We saw that with Tyler Cook a couple years ago with the Wolves G League team. We've seen that with some other guys. Along with, we'll talk here in a minute about the rest of the training camp roster, but the other kind of confirmed Exhibit 10 players, CJ Ellaby, who played last season with the Portland Trailblazers. The Garza deal was actually announced first by the Timberwolves, had not previously been reported. And then Darren Wolfson of KSCP and Score North is the only reporter, I believe, that officially confirmed it was an Exhibit 10 contract. So not, you know, he's a camp invite. He's not on the Timberwolves roster. He doesn't have any guaranteed money beyond the small guarantee that doesn't count against the cap. Essentially the signing bonus, and then, for lack of a better term, a stay bonus for sticking with the Iowa Wolves of the G League. So Ellaby and Garza on Exhibit 10 deals. We'll talk about the overall training camp roster and, you know, how it's kind of shaken out as the Wolves have continued to add guys. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. First, though, before we do that, let's talk about our friends over at the NHTSA and talk a little bit about impaired driving. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride, but you live nearby and you can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, heading into training camp here in a few weeks, the Timberwolves have a chock full roster of players. Let's talk about, you know, obviously the top, you know, 10 guys or whatever, top 11, 12 guys that are going to be in the rotation. We'll talk about players with non-guaranteed contracts battling it out, or I should say non-fully guaranteed contracts battling it out at the end of the roster, the two-way guys, the Exhibit 10 guys, with this addition of Luka Garza. What's the versatility here at the end of the roster? So obviously you've got your starters, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Jade McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. Very likely those are your starters. You've got your next line in no particular order, but basically, you know, veteran guys who are absolutely in the rotation. Kyle Anderson, who's effectively the sixth man this year, in my opinion. Jalen Noel, Torian Prince. Those are probably kind of the next three guys off the bench for the Wolves. Jordan McLaughlin, depending on matchups. And then Naz Reid is probably maybe the 10th guy. Then you've got veterans Bryn Forbes and Austin Rivers. We'll talk about their contracts here in a minute. Beyond that, you've got Nate Knight returning to the team, and that's kind of the front court there. And then you've got the rookies, Wendell Moore Jr., Josh Minot, who both are very unlikely to be rotation guys. You've got two two-way players in A.J. Lawson and Eric Paschal, and you've got your two Exhibit 10 guys in C.J. Elbey and Luca Garza. At one point, Philip Wheeler was listed as an Exhibit 10 guy. That has not been confirmed by the team. That may not be the case anymore. So we'll go ahead with this list of, what is that? 17 plus two two-ways plus two Exhibit 10, so really 21 guys, if my math is correct here. So I don't want to really focus on the top really 10 guys because we know who those top 10 are. I'll say it this way. This is maybe a little bit easier to kind of lay it out. Russell and McLaughlin at point guard, Edwards and Noel at the two guard, McDaniels and Prince at the three, Towns and Anderson, Kyle Anderson at the four, Gobert and Nas at the five. And then beyond that, nobody else has a fully guaranteed contract besides Wendell Moore, of course, the first round pick and rookie. Everybody else has some sort of a partial guarantee in their deal, which is really interesting. I take that back. I actually think Bryn Forbes might have a fully guaranteed deal, which is also interesting in and of itself. I don't believe that his has partial guarantees to it. Everyone else does. That includes Austin Rivers. That actually includes Jalen Noel, although I think his just became guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken. Nas Reed has a partial guarantee in his deal. There's another layer there. Austin Rivers, the date is in January. Nate Knight has a partial guarantee date at some point as well. It's really kind of an interesting, every little bit helps. It's just an interesting bit of roster flexibility at the end of the roster for the Wolves. And here I've got the dates here according to Spotrac. Rivers, Knight, Reed, and Noel all have guarantee dates January 10th, which is right before teams can start signing 10-day contracts. That kind of coincides there. So Rivers, Knight, Reed, and Noel all have partial guarantees that kick into fully guaranteed on January 10th. So when you get to that point, it's very likely Jalen Noel is a rotation guy, very likely Nas Reed. The Wolves aren't just going to let him go. You never know with Nate Knight, Austin Rivers, if the minutes aren't what he expected them to be, perhaps there's a mutual parting of ways. It kind of protects both parties in the case of Austin Rivers. But you get past those top 10 on the roster, and there is a little bit of room for things to shift there in the middle to back parts of the Wolves roster. I think it's pretty unlikely that any of those guys are just simply let go in January. There's always the trade possibility. I've talked quite a bit about Nas Reed. Like, say, for instance, Nate Knight and Luka Garza both have a fantastic training camp, or maybe Eric Paschal looked great or whatever, and then we'll say, okay, let's shuffle this front court. We can get a second, maybe 2 seconds for Nas Reed, bump Knight, into that backup five role. We know Towns is going to play a bunch of five anyway if we stagger Towns and Gobert. So between Eric Knight, small ball Eric Paschal, small ball Kyle Anderson, Luka Garza in the more traditional kind of brute force big, even a slim down Luka Garza, there's some depth there. So maybe we can trade Nas, pick up some assets, free a roster spot, and perhaps Paschal gets bumped to a full-time deal and Garza signs a two-way or something like that. There is a bit of room there to play with. And that's certainly at least partially what Tim Connelly and the Wolves front office are considering with these partial guarantees at the end of the roster. And also, a guy like Luka Garza gives you some additional depth in the front court. So you have Towns, Gobert, Nas, Nate Knight, and Luka Garza. And then, Paschal on the two-way deal, Kyle Anderson at four, who can play some small ball five. And that's really how that all kind of shakes out. So really interesting, again, roster flexibility. Interesting to look at really only the 10 full guaranteed contracts plus the rookies more. And then Josh Minot has some guarantees in his as well. And then your two-way guys, Paschal, is really a four that can play small ball five. AJ Lawson's a bit more of a flexible three that can guard twos and maybe some fours. Kind of a Josh Minot type player on the wing, some athleticism. And then your camp invites, your exhibit 10s are similar in that Garza is a big and Elbey is more that flexible forward wing type player who needs to improve his outside shot like Lawson does. There's some similarities there. Somewhat ironically, Elbey played much of last year in the NBA with Portland, but I would say Lawson actually has the better current NBA profile, which I guess makes sense. Lawson's the one that's on the two-way deal. Elbey's on the minimum guarantee, not even vet minimum, like the $50,000 guarantee Exhibit 10 deal, whereas Lawson's got his two-way deal under his belt, even though he's got less NBA experience than CJ Ellaby. So the Wolves have a really intriguing back part of the roster. Again, I do think the top like 12 spots in the rotation are pretty much set. I don't think Nate Knight sees much rotation minutes. I don't think Moore or Minot see rotation minutes. I don't think ultimately Garza makes the roster. I don't think Ellaby makes the roster unless there's some injuries or moves. But your top 10 are pretty much set. Your next couple of guys with Forbes and Rivers are set. And Nate Knight, that's kind of your top, you know, like 15 right there. And then you've got rookies, you've got two ways. And that's that. So the Garza signing is, of course, a camp body, some depth, some insurance. Perhaps if he's got a great camp, perhaps Nas ends up getting traded or something like that, or Nate Knight for that matter. But it's a nice signing, somebody who showed something at the NBA level and certainly in the G League last year, a massive college career. And the Wolves continue to just kind of add to what's an impressive and deep roster as we head into training camp. Okay, I want to talk about ESPN's power rankings that were released after the Kevin Durant news, the news on, I guess, on Tuesday that KD had met with the Nets on Monday, their brass, and talked about staying in Brooklyn. ESPN has re-released their power rankings with that news. I'll talk about where the Wolves have landed and also in light of a couple of other rankings that have been done over the course of the month of August and how ridiculous it is that the Wolves keep ending up where they keep ending up. So we're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every league, including MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. NFL now is headed into the last week of preseason. Major League Baseball's only got a month and a week, 5 weeks, 6 weeks or so left before the playoffs. NHL is about to kick off again. I think regular season starts in like 3 weeks. So fall sports getting underway. Now's the time to head over to betonline.net and get yourself set up and ready to go. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, off-season NBA power rankings are oftentimes a futile effort, right? I mean, like, yes, we know how each team finished last season, obviously. We know what each team did in the off-season, but as we also know, things can change so quickly. I mean, a couple, 3 years ago, the Suns went from, they were not good, finished strong in the bubble. The following year, they go to the conference finals. Similar story for the Hawks. And then last year, the Hawks go back to being, basically a 500 team, and just a completely disappointing finish to the season. The Suns have gangbuster season, the best season in the league, regular season. They fall apart in the playoffs. Memphis is, the talk of the league for much of the season, and they kind of run into a wall in the playoffs. And it's just like, it's so unpredictable. We can sit here right now. We could go back and look at last year's August power rankings and probably laugh at where a lot of teams were. That said, well, let's just do that now. Let's laugh at where teams are in ESPN's power rankings today, on August 24th. Kevin Durant on Tuesday, the news came out. He's going to stay in Brooklyn. He's rescinding his trade request. So ESPN, of course, re-released their power rankings. I'm going to cruise through some of these. If you're guessing where the Wolves are, they're going to be a little lower than probably you'd expect. So in order, Golden State, Boston, the Milwaukee Bucks third, Memphis fourth. I don't have a problem with the top three, even in that order, Warriors, Celtics, Bucks. I'm okay with that. The Grizzlies at four is really aggressive. I don't think they got better in the offseason. They obviously brought back Tyus Jones, but they lost Kyle Anderson. They did a bit of shuffling in their rotation, but they're going to be relying on a lot of old young players, if that makes sense, like older rookie second year type guys, as they've done the last couple of seasons. I just don't see how that roster got much better. The Suns are fifth. The way they ended the season, I understand why they're not ahead of Memphis, but I think they should be. The Clippers are sixth, with apparently a healthy Kawhi, a healthy Paul George. I guess that makes sense to me. The Heat at seven seems a little high. Losing PJ Tucker, which is going to be a really big deal, and who knows with Jimmy Butler staying on the court early in the season, I wouldn't have them as high as seven. The Dallas Mavericks are eighth, which is down from fifth for their post-finals ranking. I wouldn't have Dallas as high as eighth overall in the league either. You know, losing, obviously, Jalen Brunson and kind of remaking their front court. Eight is a little aggressive. Denver at nine, I understand that. Obviously, Jokic. And then the return of Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., which is great. It's going to be a lot of fun to have those guys back on the floor. In Jamal Murray's case, over a year and a half. You know, Michael Porter's case, almost a year. I just don't know, what are we expecting from them from day one, from guys who haven't played very much over the last two calendar years? So Denver at nine, I guess I buy that. That's all right. Philadelphia at 10, I'm okay with that. Brooklyn at 11, down one from post-finals rankings of 10. Of course, the playoffs did not go to plan for the Nets, and nobody really knows what to expect from Kyrie Irving or Ben Simmons for that matter, but a healthy KD, I feel like they should even be higher than 11. If this is being done post-KD saying he's staying in Brooklyn for at least for now, they should almost be higher. The Timberwolves are sitting at number 12. One spot ahead of the Toronto Raptors, two spots ahead of the Chicago Bulls, three ahead of the Atlanta Hawks, and just four spots ahead of the New Orleans Pelicans. The Wolves should be higher than 12. I think they should be higher than Dallas. I think they should be higher. I would argue to have them higher than Miami. You could argue having them higher than the Clippers, and that wouldn't be crazy, right? I'm okay with Golden State, Boston, Milwaukee as the top three. I would put Phoenix four. I'd put Memphis five. I'd probably put Denver. I'd probably put the Sixers six and Denver seven. And then I probably go Brooklyn at eight and the Timberwolves at nine. I would have them in the top 10. I just don't see how there are 11 teams better than the Wolves right now in the NBA. And in the West, that puts them behind Denver, Dallas, the Clippers, the Suns, Memphis, and Golden State. So that puts them seventh in the Western Conference. The Wolves will not finish seventh or lower in the Western Conference, barring some unforeseen catastrophic injuries to their key players, which I hesitate to even mention, but I think I have to say it. I'm knocking on wood. The Wolves will finish higher than seventh in the West. And well, I thought to myself as I was reading this, like, hey, are there other sites that have said something similar about the Wolves? So I looked up the Athletic's rankings done by Zach Harper a couple of weeks ago. And the Wolves are 14th in his ranking, in actually his fourth tier, which is the play-in tournament teams. I don't see how the Wolves could possibly be ranked 14th after acquiring arguably the best defensive player in the league. They now have two All-NBA centers. They have, two multi-time All-Stars, two top 25 players. Add in Anthony Edwards, who could be a top 25 player as soon as this season, and D'Angelo Russell, who's probably a top 50 or 60 player, former All-Star himself. And I, like, in good depth, I just don't understand, other than the skepticism of how the offense will work. Sure, fine, we don't know yet. But on sheer talent alone, which is typically what power rankings are, especially when we're not actually watching these teams on the court, right? We don't know what any of these teams are going to look like this year, except for the ones that changed basically, didn't change at all. So how are we not just ranking the teams based on sheer talent? And if you're doing that, the Timberwolves should probably be a top five or six team in the NBA, honestly. So I understand some skepticism, and that's why I have them roughly eight or nine. But to have them 12th, or in the case of Zach Harper and the Athletic, to have them 14th seems very presumptuous on the negative side of the ledger. I don't really understand it myself, but we'll keep tabs on that. There will be preseason power rankings. I will give my win total projections. Probably not until early October. We have to let the rest of the offseason play out, see some training camp and preseason, and then I'll give those predictions here in a few weeks. But I will say, I think they will be better than last year when they won 46 games, and I do think they will be better than number 12, or they should be listed better than number 12 in power rankings heading into the season. All right, that's all we have for you today on the show. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, and thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this program is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find Locked On Wolves and all your favorite Locked On podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. For your second listen today, you can get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every single day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.